Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
It's a great pleasure to start today with the Melbourne captain, Max Gawn, ahead of one of the great days on the AFL calendar, Big Freeze 9 on the King's birthday. Max, welcome to the studio.
Thanks for having me, Jared.
You've got a weird schedule, you were just telling me, with the way you're set up, with the way the games fall around the bye.
Yeah, so 3 10-day breaks, which is the first time I'm going to be a part of something like that. So because we play King's birthday, that's the last game of round 13, and then we play the first game of round 15 on a Thursday night. So it's only 10 days between that. So our bye, technically we're coming back and there's 5 days to go after we have our 4 days off. But either side, we get looked after with 2 10-day breaks.
Has there been a bit of planning going to that?
There has. The high-performance team likes to think it's going to be a little competitive edge. We can maybe do a couple more conditioning sessions to keep ourselves fit for that back end of the year, which we struggled with last season.
Does it give you a chance to get away, or is it just not quite long enough to leave town?
The King's birthday one's unique because it's the middle of the week, yeah. Tuesday to Friday. So my wife's working, so I can't just take the family away. But after the Geelong game, I might stay around that area. I haven't done too much down the Bellarine Peninsula.
Yep.
Is it good?
Yeah. Okay. I reckon you could find. Okay. You could lose yourself for a few days there. Okay. I think
I might stick around.
At King's birthday encounter, how big is it for the club?
Yeah, it's a really exciting game. Collingwood have won, I think, the last four. Not all of them King's birthday. Some of them just a normal game, but none of them King's birthday. It was three that were Queen's birthdays.
Yes.
Born on the same day. That's phenomenal.
Really?
The King and the Queen, isn't it?
Yes. One of the great misnomers.
Yeah. So they're top of the table. They have lost two games in almost a year. So really excited. Both of our games last year went down to the last quarter, which is typical of a Collingwood game. It does tend to go down to the last quarter. So I'm presuming it'll be that sort of game again, and I'm really looking forward to it.
We've watched this become such a cherished part of the football calendar with our blue beanies and the Big Freeze and the presence of Neil Danaher, and obviously that's got its real heart at Melbourne too.
Yeah, so, I mean, 2021, Neil was all over our walls before the granny. There was quotes left, right and centre, majority of them around the selfless character that Neil is. Like, he's literally the epitome of selfless. He's fighting the disease that I'm starting to think he's going to win. Like, he's just phenomenal how much he's sticking around. But he's fighting a disease he's not going to win so others can. If you take a little bit out of that on the football field, I mean, the rest is history. So, I'm proud to be able to play in all nine of these Big Freeze games. Well, I was injured for one, but I've been around for all nine. Neil's come to the club every single time. It really is a great week.
The words that he has spoken to you in the past, there was one year where it was released, and it was just, it was quite striking at the time. It sort of stays with me as whenever you get an audience with Neil, it really is something quite memorable.
Yeah, you can only imagine what he would have been like as a coach.
Yes.
There's words of wisdom left, right and centre. Although you do ask like your David Neitz and your Russell Robinson, and they go, this hero that is right now, he wasn't a hero back then when he was spraying us in the 90s, but he got us through to a grand final almost with the words of wisdom that we had for that final series.
Proper hot gospeler he was in the day.
Correct.
Yeah, the Reverend nickname. Well, now one of the features of these Queen's birthday, now King's birthday games has always been Max Gawn versus Brody Grundy. So that's a bit different.
It is. Well, last year was Brody was obviously out injured, but normally, yes, it has been a big build-up. It's funny, I've had to turn my arch nemesis into my best friend. And it's happened pretty quickly. I thought it might have taken a little bit more of getting used to. Still a little bit on field stuff we got to get right. We've got to work out what the best time to do all our stuff is, who's rucking at better times, and can we do some mid-quarter swaps and whatnot. But I'm really enjoying it. Obviously a big game for him. Any club that shows a player the door almost like that was, it's always a big game no matter what. Even with Brody's character, he's so laid back and you can almost think that he's not even thinking about it. But I guarantee you he probably is. So I dare say he'd probably get the first set of bounce. I don't think I can talk him out of that. Okay. I reckon he's got the first set of bounce. I'll see what Goody says.
I was going to ask you how you think it will manifest, but that's how it might manifest. Just get into it. Get into the contest straight away.
Yeah, we've shared it a lot this year, the first set of bounce. I feel like this is the one that he wants, especially if it's Mason. I think he's really good friends with Mason, so that'd be a great start.
I spoke to him coming into the season around the idea of almost swallowing your ego in the partnership he was about to take up. He's long been the number one ruckman. What about the flip side for you? Is that I saw the champion data rankings. I don't know how seriously everyone takes them, but you're not an elite ruckman anymore. And it feels like that's because of the necessity of the partnership you've taken on. How have you found the change in responsibility, in minutes, in role?
Yeah, so the change is big for me as well. Even though we had Luke Jackson, I was still about 85%, almost 90% rucking. Luke Jackson rucked the back end of the third quarter in the grand final, and it's infamous. He almost won us the grand final. So I was still doing about 90%. So it's a big change for me as well. I remember Goody sort of pitching it to me, talking about, because Luke Jackson started getting more and more time, and then we started talking about bringing Brody in. And I just questioned my own worth, and he explained it pretty simply. He goes, I can get you a 7-4 Australian, and I'm making that sound incredibly easy. I dare say Tim English would have it anyway, even if I was rucking, but I can get you a 7-4 Australian, or I can get you a second premiership captain. Like, odds are, I mean, there's a chance that I could have done both, but you'd pick the second one every day of the week. And he said the best way for us moving forward is to have two really big ruckmen who can mark the ball down the line, who can go forward and kick goals, and who can really dominate that centre square. All three of them, we're still waiting to perfect. Sometimes we nail it one week with one of them. We've never really had all three in one game. I do know that taller and bigger men tend to get bigger in finals. So I am excited to get to that part of the year. But, I'm all in on this idea. I'm 31. I almost did my knee at the start of the year. Like, things can happen just like that. And Goody's pretty hell-bent that two rucks is going to be the way to go. And to be fair, a lot of the teams that are going well have got two big men. Collingwood have Cameron and Cox. Essendon have had a resurgence with Draper and Phillips. Geelong have Blitzarves and Reece Stanley or Segler. So there's always that two sort of big men. So I feel like it will work.
How does it change the equation for your self-worth and how you measure yourself in a game?
It's been challenging. There is noise outside. I don't look into it too much. I've had noise around bad form before. But I've played, how many games is there? 8-4, so 12. I've missed 4 of them. And out of the 8 games, I've had coaches' votes in probably 5 of them. So that's a little bit of worth for me, like knowing that I'm still not getting the numbers that English and Marshall and these guys are throwing out now as a ruck, and they're two of the best rucks going around. But I'm doing what the team needs me to do at that time, and that's all I really care about. I need to be strong down the line when the ball goes for a bailout. When I'm rucking, I need to help out my defenders. And one thing that I'm not doing, I'm thinking I'm 4 goals, 9 from set shots. I've got to start to kick them. I'm doing a lot of work with Choco. Choco's doing a lot of work with me. The one face I don't want to see when I kick 1 goal, 2 is Choco when I walk in on a rondo. He wears them pretty he really lives and breathes the goal-kicking program. So I'm excited to clean that part of my game up. But, yeah, the only thing I need to do is tick off winning and then to play my role within.
So how significant a moment, so late in the Carlton game, you are being challenged and your moment arrives from outside 50, and that is the goal that you know how to kick.
Yeah. I don't know how. I tried it in a JLT game about 3 years ago because I haven't had that license to kick from outside 50. Yep. And I think we were up at a practice game. I said, I'm going to have a crack at this, and I kicked it. And then therefore I've had my license. So now I don't have to center it, which is a great thing to have. I feel a little bit more confident the further out I am. I feel like I can kick through the ball. I talk goal kicking 4 times a week. So for those, and there is people at home that think I'm joking around it and I don't not caring too much. Like, I do that much goal kicking. It's not funny. So I am getting there. When I got that, I was sitting on the bench just before that. And if you remember the game, we had about 7 or 8 inside 50s in a row, and Carlton rebounded from all 7 or 8. It was a bit of a frenetic start of the last quarter. And I was on the bench sort of commentating to myself and the other guys on the bench saying, we need to take a mark and we need to calm down. The next person who takes it, take your 30 seconds, kick the goal. And it was me.
Yeah.
It happened to be 70 metres out, but it was me. And I said, I'm going to try and con the umpire into a 30 seconds here. And then when I realised how far actually out was, I'm like, all right, I'll probably have a shot as well.
Yeah. You alluded to this just at the start. So how close are you and Brody working together off field, just developing a friendship, that sort of thing?
I mean, it's been natural. You don't want to force anything like that. He's early on, I was, as with every ruckman we've gotten over the time, Braden Pruce, Luke Jackson, I try and teach and help, and then you realise he doesn't really need that from me. Like, he's beaten me on the field, so he should teach me. And now we've worked out that balance, it's really nice. The one thing we've got to work out more is when someone's really going well on the ruck, just go sit forward for a little bit, do your thing, which I think worked well on the Brody did a majority of the second and the third quarter because he was really working over TDK. And then I had a whole last quarter where I was feeling really fresh and I played probably my best quarter for a while. So that's where I see it working, where Luke was almost like, oh, I need a minute to get back. Let's get Luke in there for a minute and then let's get him back out, where Brody can dominate for 6 or 7 minutes and I've just got to park my ego and sit forward, which you say park your ego. I've got an ego as a forward as well. One thing that I really wanted the coaches to know, if I'm going to be a 50% forward, and to be fair, at the early parts of this year, almost a 60, 70% forward, I need to be talked like a forward, not a ruckman who's sitting forward with his arm in the air and kick it long and there's seven people in the pack, which means I need to buy in for one to be a forward. So I need to work with the forward patterns, forward pressure. And two, I want them to teach me like a forward. And that's sort of working. Getting a lot of marks inside 50, getting a lot of looks, just got to kick the goals.
So the splits that you two work together, are you in control of those? What's the coaching influence and what's for the two of you to sort out in real time on the field?
Basically, the magnet at the start of each quarter is picked by Goody. I think it's there's no method behind it. I reckon he just forgets to change it, or there's just a name up on the ruck and the other one's either on the bench or forward. And then we can do what we want within. Obviously, there's a rotation as well, so we both go off at some point. So there's a little bit of method from them, and there's a little bit of method from us.
Melbourne captain Max Gawn in the studio. Just the course of the season. So last year, we know, started 10-0 and then went the way it went. This year, a lot of scope, it looks like, for evolution, for problem solving. How would you describe the course of this season so far?
The last two seasons were perfect starts. We're 9-0 in the 2021 and we're 10-0 last year. That's fairly abnormal. I know in 2021 there was another team that was doing it with us. I think Western Bulldogs were 9-0 as well. It's fairly abnormal to have that. As a captain, we played some unbelievable football the back end of 2021, maybe the best for a long time. You do chase that because that's where you know you can get to. That's not really chaseable. Like, it's good. It's good football and we can get somewhere near that. But that was really good football for 7 weeks. We don't need to play that to be able to win games of football. Probably don't need to play that to win a grand final. It was exceptional football. So we've got to be happy with 8-4. And in fact, I'm ecstatic with 8-4. Would have loved to win those games. But there's 14 other clubs. Well, I think we're third. There's 15 other clubs that would love to be where we are. So we're in a great position. We would have loved to beat Essendon at Adelaide Oval, but we didn't. We would have loved to Bailey Fritsch to kick the goal at Adelaide Oval, and we beat Port. Fremantle, we had a chance to win the game as well. So we would have loved those results to change, but they're all learning opportunities. We played a pretty poor game against Port on that Friday night. And if Bailey Fritsch kicked that goal, do we review it as much as we would have if we lost? So they say it's a loss you have to have. Technically, that one was. And maybe that'll hold us in good stead going forward. But obviously, I don't want to keep on losing. Yep. I'd love to go 11-0 for the rest of the year. Probably won't happen. But yeah, you just take learnings along the way. And that could have been, I'm delving into this answer, but in 2022, so we're 10-0 after winning the flag. We think nothing's going wrong. We're doing it again. We've won every game off the back of being the best team. So we don't change our team when we lose a couple because we go, we'll just get back to that same team. We don't evolve our game plan. It seems it's starting to work us out in that back end of 2022 because in fair right, we've won 15, 16 games in a row with this setup.
Yep.
So to have a little bit of adversity throughout the year, I think will help.
So are you evolving at the moment, would you say?
Yes, certainly. The way Fremantle beat us is a way that we've been beaten before. They took a lot of uncontested marks. They switched a lot on us. They tried to man up Maisie and Jake Lever, which sides tend to do. So to learn from that again is a really good thing. When it happened last year, it was our first loss of the year. Maybe we just had a mishap today. Today, it's like, okay, this is our fourth loss of the year, and this is something that teams are starting to do to us. So how do we bring out something? So we're bringing Adam Tomlinson to play on Aaron Mackay. Stephen May and Jake Lever probably have their best games of the year combined. So we're learning, evolving. Can be frustrating when you lose to teams, because all four of the losses apart from Brisbane, so three of the four are teams that we were probably favourites to win the game. So that can be frustrating, but 16, 17 teams are pretty even. Actually, you can add North to the list now. We got them later on in the year. They're all games you can drop.
So the record against other contenders, so the high-end tests, and you're about to walk into one of those next Monday, are they of added significance now? It's probably been a stumbling block since round 11 last year through to now.
Like I said before, I think all teams on their day provide a pretty big challenge. We played Port, who apparently weren't a contender when we played them, who'd won five in a row and now are seen as premiership favourites. We played Freeman off the back of winning three in a row and finding form. So it's about when you play teams as well. But we feel like I said, we're a kick away from Port playing a pretty bad game of football. This is a good test. Collingwood is a good test. They are the benchmark. They're in every game. You could have a 50-point lead and almost still think you might need to kick another one to get it done. So do we look at the Collingwood game more than what we would look into the game on the weekend against Carlton? Definitely not, because Carlton's best stacks up. They beat Geelong. They drew with Richmond at the start of the year to start the season. I'm not sure if we ride that narrative like a lot of the external people do. Yep.
And your status within the competition. So we noted at the start of the year there's been such a big turnover of captains, and now you're a premiership captain, probably the most experienced or right on the cusp. Then we've seen sort of Darcy Moore's evolution. Did it feel like the mantle had passed from those long-term captains who'd been there forever and a day and the search for the next alpha captain?
It almost feels like captains change more now, don't they? Teams are more happy to just change things up. And also captains nowadays don't have that massive ego about captaining literally till the day they retire. Like Nathan Jones was an incredible captain for us. Jack Viney was as well. It was time to move on in 2020, and Jack Viney has grown as a player. Nathan Jones at that time grew as a leader when he left the captaincy role. I'm really enjoying it. Is my time up at any point? Like, I'm happy to move on. Like, I'm happy to, if let's say Jake Lever's our next premiership captain, let's get him in there because I want to win a flag. I'm 31, almost did a knee in round two. But it is exciting seeing so many new faces. Like Darcy Moore's Anzac Day speech was one of the best things I've heard. And had we heard from Darcy Moore much before that? Probably not. So it's like good to get that person speaking. But Captain's Day was phenomenal start of the year. It was Gil and Darcy for an hour. It used to be Gil and Joel, but Joel not there. Darcy just said, I'll take lead. And it was a phenomenal debate. They were going over my head what they were even talking about. So I already know Captain's Day next year, I can sit back and just watch Darcy do his thing.
Max, you know a thing about a good venue or two. You've got our local is yours, East End.
Thank you.
At the Sporting Globe, so the Queen's birthday or King's birthday, I've got to get that in my head. The King's birthday sold out. If you haven't got a ticket, the Sporting Globe would be a good spot to go and take all of this in.
You do have to get that in your head though. King's birthday, I think it's a king for possibly the near future. Yes. I'd say almost the next century. So we'll get there.
We will.
No, Sporting Globe, I actually don't mind a pot at the Sporting Globe. It's a good, there's the one in Richmond tends to be the one I flow to. Morty Alec every now and then. That's a five level extravaganza, the Morty Alec one. But no, good place to watch a footy.
Max, it's great to see you. Thanks for stopping by the studio. Good luck for Monday and beyond.
Thanks for having me in.
Melbourne captain Max Gawn with me in the studio.